For blessing our time together. Thank you for everything that you're going to do. Thank you for what you've done. And thank you for everything you're going to do. We bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a good time back there. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. That was good. Thank you, Gabe. Thank you, Art. Good plan. Well, it's good to be home. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I will tell you, I got a little bit of a ring going, Mac. I know you're fixing it. Miss Billy's meetings are probably, I've been going since 1995, and I would say that these meetings are the most heavenly. Wow. Are they, Rachel? Yeah. They're the most heavenly meetings. You can really sense heaven in the meetings. And so, wouldn't you say that? I mean, it's just a different atmosphere. I mean, you know, we go to a lot of meetings. There's a lot of anointing, a lot of great things. But these are particularly heavenly. And there's so much that goes on. There's so much freedom in the spirit and just really good praying. The people that come to this meeting have been praying for a long time. They're very seasoned. And so when you go to this meeting, you catch. You know, some things are better caught than taught. And you just catch these things and how things flow and how things work. And so it's been a privilege to go to these meetings all these years. And this one was particularly interesting. And on Sunday, I've got two brand new revelations for you. And so we're going to talk about those on Sunday. And I think one of them is going to bring your prosperity on like never before. So be sure and come. Thanks for coming on Wednesday nights. Thank you. I was talking to this lady that none of you know. And I said, you know, we used to have church on Sunday nights. Churches used to be on Sunday nights. And, you know, most people kind of fell off that. And well, sometimes we do, but it's called the circle. And we may get back into that eventually when the Lord says. But, you know, I made the comment about that. And she said, well, I don't know why anyone would stop having church on Sunday nights. And I kind of went, ow, you know. And I said, and you know, Wednesday night. Yeah, well, you know, it was kind of a, And then so we went on with the conversation for a little while. And then I said, well, what church do you go to? Oh, I don't go to church. And so I thought, and so it's people like you. There you go, right there. So thanks for coming to church. Praise the Lord. All right. So, let's go over to Matthew 24:32. Of course, I love that person, that lady, and, you know, it's her life. But I tell you, more than ever, church, we need to be together. We're coming up on the greatest age ever, the greatest. And I have good news for you. We're going to win. We're going to win. The one we want to win, the election, is going to win. And so we actually did not pray for who was going to win the election. We prayed from the inauguration point. We started there. And so you've probably heard it said this, and I'm just going to say it to anyone who's listening, that he will win, but it's what happens after that that is crucial. Well, I'm going to tell you something. They haven't figured in the God factor. Because the church of the living God has come alive. And they have done everything scripturally and taken their authority. And when I say they, I mean us. And I've watched many groups now. You know, the Word of Faith people are used to the believer's authority. And I'm hoping you use your authority. Let me just put you to a test right here. What is the believer's authority? How could you answer that just quickly? You're seated in heavenly places. And what are you doing? Going to the courts of heaven, ruling and reigning. See, you're dominating the spirit world. Jesus dominated the spirit world with words. You have to use words from your spirit to dominate the spirit world, and then it affects this world. That's how it works. Now, you don't dominate people, but you dominate the spirits that rule people. And so it's very important that you learn how to use that authority. And you, here's your example. When Jesus spoke to that storm, and it said he rebuked it. Well, he wasn't rebuking the weather. He was rebuking the evil that was in that weather. Yes. You see? Because he said, we're going to the other side. Yes. Okay. Well, then the violent wind came up. Now on the Galilee, you understand there is, in the evenings, there's a wind that comes up. It's just the way the country's made. But this was a hard wind. And so he had to say, peace, be still. He had to rebuke that thing. And so that's what we have to do. We have to learn to get what we need from the Spirit, yeah. Word in, then word out, an authoritative command launched from your spirit. That's when you get healed. When you have an authoritative command, that's when your finances will come. When you have an authoritative command, that's when you say, hey, I'm a tither, get off my stuff. And when you believe that, Danny told me, I actually haven't heard it yet, haven't had time, but since she preached on covenant, if you understand covenant and you understand who you are and you understand hesed, you understand authority and how to use your faith, you'll never be blocked. You'll win every time. Okay. Are you going there? That was free. Now we'll do this. Now, well, let's just dig into this and then I'll tell you what we're doing here. Matthew 24:32. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, you know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things come to pass. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now, tonight we're going to talk about knowing the times. We're going to talk about, because we're in some times. And I believe you're aware. I know most of you personally, and I believe that you're aware. But let's just refresh here about the seasons. And I'm going to keep this pretty outline basic. And as we go through the season, we can fill in some of these blanks for you. But because we generally like to keep Wednesday night short, and we're already running pretty fast on the clock here, I want to just kind of hit the highlights for you, okay? And then if you have any questions, you can ask me, or eventually we'll fill these in. So let's talk about the seasons, the season that we're in, what the Bible says about them. And the first thing then I would need to mention to you, and you can write this down and look it up later, is 1 Corinthians 10:32. And that says, give none offense, or give no offense either to the Jew or to the Greeks, would be nations, okay? Or to the church of the living God. The Bible is talking to three groups. The Jews, the church, and the nations. So when you're reading the Bible, you need to know who it's talking about, who it's talking to, and who it's for. Jesus in the scripture is not talking to you. Now he's telling you what's going on, but he's not talking to you about what's going to happen to you in these scriptures that I'm reading. And so you have to look in here and see that, or you're going to go in, wow, what is this? This seems a little wrathful to me, you know, but if you'll follow along, you'll see what he's actually doing here. So, if you're going to understand the Bible, you need to know who's being spoken to and about. Now, he's talking to the disciples here, and he's talking, when he talks to them, he's talking to the Jews, and he's talking to them about their gospel. Now, they're going to know him as Messiah eventually here. It's getting to them. They're beginning to get a revelation of who he is, but he's still talking to Jewish people. And when he talked to Jewish people, he talked about the gospel of the kingdom. Okay? The gospel of the kingdom. Now, he's talking about the gospel of the earthly kingdom. that there's a kingdom coming. There's a Messiah coming. He's it. But the Jewish people think like this. This is how they think today. Messiah is coming and he'll set up an earthly kingdom. That's what they believe. So there's the kingdom of God coming. Now, for us, when we look at the gospel, we look at, how would we say it? Spiritually. Okay. So we're looking at it spiritually. So when we look at this, and we use any of these things, like for us, we understand, do we serve the kingdom? Yes. Are we citizens of the kingdom? Yes. But it's on a realm level. It's a spiritual level right now. That's what that authority is that we're talking about. So we actually have kingdom. We're citizens of the kingdom right now. But the kingdom that's going to be on the earth obviously has not totally manifested yet. Y'all got that? Is that clear? Okay. So they're getting a gospel in a little bit different way so far. We have a spiritual application. They had a literal application and a spiritual application. So many of these things are written. If you take them out of context, you're going to get off course. And so you have to know your Bible good enough to know what and who you're reading from and about, which requires that you study so you can show yourself approved. You need to know what's going on in here. So in Matthew 24, we'll go down the trail now, Jesus is answering Jewish questions, okay? Jesus is born in about 4 A.D. You know, they say he's born zero, but it's really about 4 A.D. And so this right here, they're in Jerusalem. It's about either 26 to 31 A.D., okay? He's grown up and he's in the ministry now. And so they're walking from Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives. And while they're walking, they've come out of the temple and he begins to tell them that the temple's going to come down. So now they're thinking, okay, we might need to ask some questions here. He just said this temple's going to crash. And so they're walking over to the Mount of Olives. How many of you have seen Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives? You know how they're situated there. So you could walk over there. Back then it would have been, now there's roads in between, but you could walk over there. So they're going over there. And when they get there, he sits down and he starts talking and they say, tell us how these things will be. What's going to be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And so he tells them, and this is basically, you can go back and read it. This is what it says here. The destruction of the temple, false prophets, destruction period, wars and earthquakes, and they'll be persecuted and they'll actually backstab each other. Okay? But then he says this, but this is not the end. Okay? Then you get to about verse 15, and he talks about something called the abomination of desolation. Have you heard that term? Do you know what that is? So if you don't know what that is, I'm going to tell you right now what it is. This is when the Antichrist, the man of sin, okay, when he comes in, there's going to be a person. Remember, the devil wants to copy God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. So there's going to be a man that Satan is going to use to be his, quote, Messiah. And people are going to fall for him. He's going to be so charismatic and so wonderful. And people are going to believe that he's just all that in a bag of chips. They're just going to love him. But he's going to come on the scene and win a bunch of people over with all his whatever it is he's got. Okay. And so this person is going to go into a temple that has been rebuilt. Y'all know there's no temple right now. Y'all realize there's no temple. There hasn't been a temple in a long, 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 long time. However, do you know that everything they need to make a sacrifice has already been created and is ready? Well, let me just give you a little backlog here. Remember Ariel Sharon? Y'all know who he was, the prime minister for a little while. So one day while he was prime minister, he went up on the Temple Mount where the dome is, the mosque, okay, and he prayed. And when he did, the Muslim people just blew up. And so it happened on a day like around October something. So it's not a coincidence that October 7th happened. It was a plan. Okay, y'all know what happened on October 7th, 2023. Okay. That's when Hamas attacked. Okay. So the devil is always afraid that Messiah is coming. He's always afraid of what's going to happen. So he's developed the Philistines, because that's what it is, and that's what they were. They weren't really, they were developed. Okay, and so now history sort of repeating itself. Anyway, I just want to give you a little picture of that so you kind of get that. So anyway, this man of sin, he's going into the temple, and he's going to stop the Jewish. See, they're going to fall for him at first. Oh, he's great, and he's helping, and now all the wars are over, and it's peace time. He got everybody together, and we're all doing good. This is going to happen. And then he's going to go into the temple and stop Jewish sacrifices, and he's going to put up an idol. And when he puts up an idol, he's going to want the world and the Jewish people to worship him and worship the idol. I think it's Jonathan Kahn that says it's really an idol of Zeus, which is just a Greek god that doesn't exist. But I don't know about that. I don't know if that's true or not. I've just heard him say that. But I do know biblically that he is going to want the whole world to worship something besides God, Jehovah God. Now, the thing about it is if you put an idol in the temple, God leaves. That's why God told all of us not to have graven images. That's why. Because God is not present with graven images. Okay. All right. Just wanted you to know that. So, when this happens, Jesus told them right here, and we'll read it in just a minute, run for the mountains. Okay? Go to the mountains. Now, obviously, let's get a point in here. We're not going to board planes and head to Judea. Now, interesting enough, the mountains that he's talking about are the mountains just above the Galilee there, in a place called Migdol. Miss Billy's place is in Migdol Arbel, and she's built her facility there, where it's going to be a hotel and a learning center. She's one of the few people in the world that owns property in Israel, and she's not Israeli. Now, so she has this property, and she said, I built this. This is so cool. She said, I built this so that when we're out of here, the 144,000 can come here and be protected here in the hills and in this place. They'll have a place to go. Isn't that cool? I thought that was just really neat that she said that. She's really looking to what's about to happen. And so, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but just trying to get it all out here to you. But remember, we're not going to do that. Okay? So, everything I just talked to you about is in the tribulation. We right now have wars and rumors of wars and all those kinds of things. Things are going to get better. And then eventually, after the Great Awakening, after all these things, it'll be peace, peace. It'll look real good. And boom, somebody's leaving us. And then the tribulation will start. Now, and I'm going to prove this to you over a period of time here. I don't know how far we'll get today because we have to move on it. But we're not here. Now, some people believe that we are here. And we'll address that too. But let me mention that all of those things that I just told you about over there in Matthew, if you'll go and read those and study on your own, go over and look at Revelation 6. These are the seals. Jesus is pointing out the seals that are opened in Revelation 6. It's the same thing. You can see it so clearly. Yeah, I didn't write it in this Bible. My old Bible actually show which one is which. And I was studying it today. So, but you can see that the seals are cracked open as you go through these things. These things are going to happen. So, We could just say, like, right now, oh, we think things are so horrible. Oh, honey, this is just a dress rehearsal of what's going to happen when the tribulation starts. And a lot of people are like, well, we're going through the tribulation. I'm like, you're crazy. Listen, the wrath of God is held back by the church. So says Thessalonians. It's held back. We are not appointed to wrath. You don't understand wrath. Wrath has been shut off since Jesus died on the cross. It's been held back. He said he stopped. He said, for a moment I turned my back, meaning he let his wrath out on Jesus. And it was horrible. It was horrible. So all of the pestilence and all the, just, you think COVID was bad? Not compared to what's coming in the wrath. Now, at our house, we use home defense. John sprays home defense around our house. And that is the wrath on the bugs. It is. It's called this, extermination. And one day, God's going to exterminate darkness from the earth. So that's the easiest way you can look at it. He will begin an extermination and get the darkness out. Okay? But a lot of stuff will play out in these 7 years. And if you want to understand the 7 years, you're going to have to go read the book of Daniel. And Daniel's going to explain to you how it's laid out calendar-wise and how everything will play out. But you've got to be a student of the Word, and I don't have in the next 12 minutes to get that across to you. So, but you can go and study it out. Okay, so I'm just having to give you a broad picture here. So, Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and the end will come. Not our gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. So we're gone. We've already preached the gospel of our part of the kingdom. This is that Jews wake up, they realize what's happened, and they start preaching. That's the 144,000. I know y'all know some people who think they're the 144,000. Yeah. We'll leave that alone, but they're not. This is about the Jews. Yeah. Church, everything is about Israel. America's not going to necessarily, there's something to it about abortion, but the main thing that America could get judged for is its stance with Israel. See, we're now in a Shemitah cycle that's been going on for a while, and it's called the judgment of the nations. Nations right now are having an opportunity to line up whether they're going to be sheep or goats. This is not the church going, well, everybody on this side of the sanctuary is a sheep because they tithe, and this side's a bunch of goats because that's not all that kind of stuff. This is about nations. We've all made our individual choices. We're in the kingdom. And even if you don't have everything right, you're still going. You might be in first grade when you get there, but you're going. Now, so look at verse 32. We'll go there. We're going to have to jump a little here. 24:32. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, you know it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Now, what are they talking about? What's Jesus saying here? What's he telling them? So what is the fig tree? What is that? Most of you can immediately tell me. What is it? Israel. Israel is the fig tree. So you're looking at the fig tree. When the branches get leaves and it starts to produce fruit, summer is here. Now, in other words, you can know the season because of what the trees do. Can you? Can you? Absolutely. So, Israel became a nation in 1948. It started in 47, but ended up in 48. the British, all that stuff, you know. So they actually became their own state. Now, so then what about how long is a generation? Well, there's a whole lot of stuff about that. You can read everybody's opinions. Some say 40 years. Some say 70 or 80 years. Most of the people I know say if you were born in 1948, before you die, you're going to see Jesus. You'll be in the rapture. That there won't be anybody left from when the ones that were born in 48 on. That's what a lot of people say. And I think that's okay. I think that's okay. I think the easiest way for us to look at this would be this. When you see all this that is happening, know that you're in the season. Okay. When we're about to hit winter, trees are going to all lose their leaves. And then we're going to wait and wait, and we'll be watching it and watching it. And we're going to wait for this one tree to tell us that spring is really here. Mesquite tree. John and I do it every year. One of us will come in and say, mesquite tree bloomed. What is that? Because the mesquite tree is the one that tells you winter's over. The rest of them will lie like dogs. But the mesquite tree does not lie. When it blooms, it's over. Well, so the point here is so you can tell the seasons by what's going on, right? Okay, now follow me down here. So the word goes on to say that it's going to be like the days of Noah. Okay, what happened with Noah? Everybody just doing what they want to do. They're all getting married. They were partying. They were doing whatever they wanted to do. Noah's out there building the ark. I love what Miss Billy said. She said, we should know what's going on. We need to know the times. Those people should have picked up a hammer and helped him build an ark. They should have known the time. I loved it that she said that. But what happened? Noah built an ark, got in it, and floated off, and everybody else, muerte, right? It's over. So, you know, we should be building an ark, a word ark. Amen. We ought to be building a word ark. We should be in this grace ark. And by the way, the ark is a picture of the rapture. It is. Everybody else went, and we went out. It's like Enoch. There's about six or seven pictures of a rapture if you look at them. And this is one of them. We're going out. We're going to make it okay. All right. Now, I was just watching Miss Billy a while ago in a clip, and she took all of the Greek words and showed how we're actually going to rapture. All the words mean we're going out. So I didn't have time to write them down. I ought to have brought them to you. I'll try to grab it. But she says, this Greek word means this. This Greek word means this. She says, this is an actual taken out. And it says, the dead in Christ will rise. Then we will meet them and go with them. Yep. Amen. Amen. That's what the scripture says. And so we're actually, it's a catching away. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but it's a catching away. We're taken out of here before you spray the home defense. It's true. Now, so in Thessalonians 5:1, listen to this. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Now, see the day of the Lord? See that there? The idea behind the day of the Lord is this. This is what it meant in the Old Testament. It's God's time. God's time. So right now, it's been man's time. But the day of the Lord is God's time. That's what those words mean. You have to go back and find out what these things mean. Okay, so you don't know. You don't know the exact time, right? It said like a thief. The thief didn't call someone's house and say, I'll be coming over there at 1 o'clock in the morning when you're sound asleep, and I'm going to get in your garage and steal your bicycle. He doesn't call in. You don't know when the thief would show up. Now he ain't going to show up at your house, but someone's house or wherever. He doesn't announce that he's coming. And the day of the Lord, God's time, is like a thief in the night, according to the scripture. The day is unknown. It's a surprise. But what we do know, the season would look like because of what Jesus said and because of God's calendar. And you know God's calendar. 4,000 years, then Jesus came, everything happened, and then there's been 2,000 years. A day as the Lord is like 1,000 years, and we've ended the 6,000th year, so we're going into the 7,000th year, which is the millennial reign. And so we're in the 7,000th year. We should be out of here. Okay, so we in other words, we know there's not 2,000 more years. We know that we're at the end of this age, right? Okay. I don't think I'm having to convince anyone. All right. So, the idea here is to be ready for the unexpected. Be ready. Not afraid. Ready. Be ready. When you are having a baby, you pack that bag. Right? Did you pack yours yet? Going to. She going to pack that bag. Did y'all pack a bag? And you're ready to go to the hospital. Because you were expecting, but you didn't know when. But you knew he or she was coming. And we know he's coming. And we've got a general idea of the season. We don't know. It's a surprise, and you can guess, and you might win a prize, as Miss Billy says. I always tell Deb, Miss Billy will win the prize. She knows. She hears God so clearly. So, praise the Lord. Once labor starts, though, it's the season. You can't back out. Can't back out. Now, interesting, I've heard mommies go, I'm not doing this. And they start beating on the daddy. You did this to me. But you can't back out. You're going. And you're going through the labor. And you're going to have the baby. And then you're going to count all the fingers and the toes. As soon as they brought Toby to me, I unwrapped him. Okay, that's good. Amen. And then you got that sweet little baby and everything's good. But you didn't know exactly when that pain was going to strike. And then, but once it did, it started happening and the things kept going and things kept going until you went there and you were delivered. And it's the mama who's delivered, by the way. Amen. Okay. So, are y'all with me? Y'all too tired? Okay, we're almost done. So, let me just tell you something, church. We're going to win. We're going to win. And so peace and safety will come. Great awakening will come. The great harvest will come. Signs, wonders, miracles, the wealth of the sinners laid up for the just. All these things. You're right there. You're right there. It's going to happen. There's right now, people are getting saved all over the world. Like never before. Things are happening. Miracles are happening right now. The glory is happening right now in churches, on college campuses right now. I know you see a lot of the news and how everybody's rioting over the Palestinians and all that stuff. Hey, people are going to get a clue. And they're going to get more and more and more clues. But we're winning. We're winning. If you saw the million woman thing in D.C., you could see these people, people are awake now. Amen. You need to go back and look at some of that if you haven't seen it. It'd be good for you. So, peace and safety, and then we're going to leave. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says this, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. Listen, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. It's going to happen. You cannot back out. Verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, you got that button over there, you pressing, you're ready. Right? You're ready. They're not gonna, you got your alarm, you got whatever, you're fixed up, you know what's gonna happen. You're not going to be surprised. You're like, huh, we know what this is. We get this season. Church, please don't do this or this. Your life in heaven will be amazing. And you're like, well, I want to stay here and have my babies. And your babies are going too? Well, I want to get married. God's got a plan for that. You're going to have your loved one. You know, you're like, well, I don't know. I was married four times. I don't know which one I'm going to live with. Well, just leave that to God. But you're going to be happy. God's going to work that out. He knows how to work that out. You're not going to be disappointed. You're not going, I wanted to raise my children on this earth. I don't want you to have to. There's something way better. It's life good like this, except there's no devil. We can just enjoy life and we won't be tired all the time. Amen. So don't go there. Don't try to, I don't want it. I don't want it. Don't resist what's coming. Know the season you're in and know that we got to be a part of this. That's my point that I'm going to go for here in just a second. So, but you brethren are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are the sons of light, sons of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath. God did not appoint us to wrath. We are not appointed to wrath. We are the ones restraining evil. Why? Because we have the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. He restrains evil. Church, listen to me. Teach your children to plead the blood. Chip, I'm going to take a time to tell this and we'll still end up right on time. Chip said, I don't know if he preached this. He may have been preaching this, but I heard it. I've heard it before. He said he was at this meeting and he was out on a reservation. Did he tell that? Okay. I heard it somewhere else from him. He's out on the reservation and he's preaching and it all went real well. And then some of the preachers came up afterwards and said, hey, can you come with us to the back room? We got this lady back there and she's full of demons and we've been trying to cast them out for 5 hours. And she's just throwing us around and, you know, everything. And we just, and he was like, man, I didn't want to go. He said, you know, that's not my calling. I don't want to go, you know, it's just not, I'll watch, you know. So, but then he says, but I'm going. So he goes back there and they're all working on her and she's a little bitty girl like Cherie, just, and she's tossing them. And her voice is the decibels way down, whoa, you know, and she's just full, she's demonic. And so, she looks at this one man and his brother had died recently. And she says, your brother went to hell. And he was like, and Chip says, hey, the devil is a liar. That's a sure sign he's in heaven. And when he said that and the man went, that's right. The devil, whatever the devil is lying about, it's the opposite for you. That's so good. And so, he says, by the time we finish rejoicing and high-fiving that, you could just see Chip high-fiving it, you know. Here she comes off the floor, roar, toward him, and she's coming after him. And he just says this, I plead the blood! Bam! She falls on the floor, starts, wah! And all the devils leave. She gets up normal. plead the blood. Yes. Out loud. Yes. Teach your children. Amen. If someone walks up to them in the parking lot, plead the blood. Amen. Tell them to plead the blood. Yes. If someone's coming against them or something, plead the blood. Yes. It works every time because there's life and light in the blood. That was free. But I just wanted you to know that's something we need to be aware of is pleading the blood. Amen? Okay. God did not appoint us to wrath, but obtained salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can go a lot deeper, but let me just give you 2 points and we'll close. First of all, you have to know the right sequence of events by listening to right teaching. So I warn you, if you go out online, oh my word, find teachers you trust to teach you this kind of stuff, who are word people, because there's a lot of silliness out there, okay? There are people who preach no rapture, and they think that going through the tribulation, this is what they think, I'll just tell you. They think this, there was 4,000 years, then there was Jesus. Then Jesus taught the gospel of the kingdom, and then there was 2,000 years, and then the kingdom message came, and then the millennial age came, and then Armageddon. Now that's not right. This is how it is. 4,000 years happened. Jesus came. He died for us. Everything you know that happened then. Then was the church age. We're in the great parentheses. We're in the grace time, right? Okay. The church age for 2,000 years now. We understand and work the spiritual kingdom, which works this area, and then the rapture, and then the tribulation, and the temple will be rebuilt during the time of the tribulation. I don't know, it might start bleeding over and going up before we actually leave, but it'll be finished, and that will happen, and those things will work out during the tribulation, okay? What you have, you ever heard of the two witnesses? Okay, so they're going to be in that time, right? All these things that you've heard about, those will be there. The 7 years, 3.5 years, everybody's going to go, wow, yay, this guy's great. And then he's going to do the abomination of desolation, and they're going to go, no. And so then all horrible hell will break loose. Then after that, we have the millennial reign. Okay. So Armageddon's going to come in the part of the Armageddon, not Ezekiel wars, but the Armageddon that you always heard will be in the tribulation period. That's what I understand. Okay. So right now you see everybody coming against Israel. It's going to get good, but eventually you'll see it again. Okay. That's how it's going to work out. Either that or things are going to go really, 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 really fast, and it can all happen in one conglomeration. And listen, the glory could break out and happen in 40 days. Yeah. We could be out of here. But I don't think so. So, thank you, Art. So, if I told you that too fast, we'll go through it again, okay? Because some of y'all went. But, let me tell you again. There were 4,000 years from Genesis, the Old Testament stuff. Then Jesus was born, right? Then Jesus died for us on the cross. Then we came to the church age. Peter, Paul, all those guys got saved, started the church age. We're still in the church age, but we're at the end of the church age. Then was going to come the rapture of the church, which will allow the man of sin to unveil himself. Yeah. And then the temple and the abomination of desolation and all that will happen in that 7-year period. And then after all that happens and Jesus comes in and he comes riding in on his horse and yes, Lord, we will ride with you and we're going to come in too. And boom, he's going to take care of everything. The devil's going to get locked up. We're going to rule from a heavenly Jerusalem. The Jews will rule from an earthly Jerusalem. Jerusalem is double, right? Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim. If it ends in lime, it's Regalime. If you got two of them, it's like, and so there's two Jerusalems, and so we're going to rule from there. We'll probably come down and go back and whatever, however you do it. I don't know how that's going to work, but God knows. But that's what's going to happen, and we'll have a millennial reign. The enemy will be released one more time because there's still people on earth at that time, that real human people that still need to make a choice. And God has to let them make a choice. You had to make a choice. You're not a puppet. You could have said, no, I don't want God. So they get to have a choice. And so they'll get to have a choice, and then boom, lake of fire, and we're done. That's how it happens. I know that's the shortest version you've ever heard, but we did it before 8 o'clock. Glory to God. You receive it tonight? Praise the Lord. So my other point to you is this, just be ready. And if you didn't hear anything else I said, hear this. The most important skill right now that you should sharpen right now is your praying skill.
Yes.
Your prayer life is the most important thing, that and in the Word. But you've got to know how to pray. And you've got to be praying, because we are the ones with the Spirit that hold things back and move things around. Church, we're the ones that let it get in this mess. It is. But now we're awake and we're coming out. But right now, while this is all working through and working out, you got to know how to pray and be smart enough to not just go, well, I hate so-and-so. I hate their mouth. Can you think a little deeper than that? I don't like the way they look. Can we be a little bit more mature than that? Can we think about what America needs? Can we think about what the world needs instead of... I just heard a guy the other day, he said, I voted for Trump twice. I'm not voting for him again. And she said, well, you're voting for Harris? No, I'm not voting for her. Well, I'm not voting. And I'm like, you want me to tell you what I really thought? Stupid. Because, excuse me for that, but here's the truth. No vote is a vote for the wrong thing. On a spiritual level, it's your business who you vote for, okay? Well, I'm not here to tell people who to vote for. I'm here to tell you to vote Bible, but the truth is if you don't vote, that's a no-show. That's automatically no seed in the ground. So if you vote Bible, you have seed in the ground, and no matter who wins, you're going to be okay.
Yeah, that's right.
However, the right person's going to win.
Yes.
And we're going to have 4 good years. I got to tell you one more thing. Get your skills all sharpened up. Know how to pray. Know what you're doing. Try not to just live life praying from your head. Pick it up. Learn to pray from your spirit. Learn to listen. Lord, you want me? I heard the Lord say, pray for the Pentagon. And so I started praying for the Pentagon. And did y'all see the leak? Have y'all seen the leak? Okay. So we got to pray. We have to pray. They leaked out information about Israel, what Israel was doing. We have to pray. We have to listen to what's going on. So nothing else is getting leaked in Jesus' name. No more hacks. So, but you have to know what to. You can just be driving down the road, minding your own business, listening to Dolly Parton or whatever. No, listen to something else. I mean, I love Dolly, but you know, praise and worship, and the Lord will just tell you something.
Yeah, he will.
You know, and just say it. You could be out there hammering on something, and the Lord will say. You might be watering your yard, and the Lord will say, pray for this, pray for that. Learn to pick up that voice. Learn to listen what he's saying. These are those times. I got 1 minute to tell you one thing. And then, so God gave me a plan for Victory Church. Now, do you all know what a Shemitah year is? It's like, I don't have time to tell you. But I will tell you this, there's 7-year cycles. And at the beginning of a Shemitah year is when things happen. And if you get into the Jewish stuff very far, you're going to find out that probably 99% sure that we're going to go in the rapture on a Shemitah at the beginning of a Shemitah year. Okay? It's now, I'll explain it to you more later, but we're on the clock, okay? We'll get more into it. Or look it up, Shemitah. Okay. We've been in the cycle of the nations are being judged, right? Okay. The next Shemitah year, the beginning, is 2028, 2028, 4 years from now. If we have the right person in office and we're praying the right things, it could be really good. If not, another 7 years, whatever. I'm not predicting because we're letting the prize get bigger before we choose a date. No, I'm kidding. But it could be. But let me tell you this, we should act like it. We should act like these next 4 years, because let me tell you something. What's the baby's name? Elijah. Elijah. Okay. If Jesus doesn't come back, Elijah needs a good America. Paisley needs a good America. Katie's children, they need a good America. Gabe's children need a good America. Amen. Your children need to have a good America. So we need to act like in these next four, we need to get it all out on the line so that our grandchildren have a good life. Amen. They need to have a good life. Like, I can't even think about grandchildren. Honey, my grandchild's going to start driving. Well, he's already driving. He's about to get his license. It's going to happen before you know it. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. We need to understand prayer like we've never understood it before. We need to look, we need to learn to pray with the prophets. And that's something we, when you pray, when you have prayers and a prophet, you can get way down the line. So, I'm going to close and tell you this, and I will tell you more about this in the future. God gave me a plan for the church. And, we're going to change some things. We're going to build Gideon's army. If you don't know what that is, you want to go read it. Because we're not going to prod people to worship or to pray. If they don't do it, fine. But there's a bunch of us that will. And we're going for the glory. And we're going to have the glory. And we're not going to try to pull everybody along. They're all welcome. They're all welcome to worship they want the way they want to. Just stand there with their hands in the pockets. You know, pucker up, whatever you do. Don't do anything. Come stand in prayer and don't utter a word. What, just whatever. We're not going to be concerned with it. But for the ones that are going to go, we're going somewhere. And the Lord specifically told me that. He said, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it. So you're invited. You're invited to be a prayer. You're invited to pray the word. You're invited to worship God. But I tell you what else, you're invited to sit here and watch us if you don't want to, but you're still invited. We love you. Has nothing to do with love. It has nothing to do. You can sit here and frown at us with your arms crossed all you want to, but we are going to have the glory. We're going to have revival. We're going to have awakening, and we're going to see people get saved. We're going to see them get delivered. We're going to see them healed. We're all going to have miracles. We're going to see the wealth of the wicked coming to, hey, things are shooting up right now. I'm telling you, I gave Jordan a silver coin for his birthday. It was my prize coin. It was a Trump round. And I was like, I'm giving it to Jordan for his birthday. Y'all know his birthday was yesterday. And so I thought, and they don't have any more. And I was like, I'm going to give this to Jordan. And my stock shot up this morning tremendously. One of them soared. And I was like, well, there you go. You can't outgive God. And I'm going to tell y'all a secret about it on Sunday morning as soon as I get up to preach the offering word. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We give you glory. We thank you, Lord. Father, we just bless you. We're going forward with you. We're getting ready for change, for the greatest days of our lives. We're sharpening up on covenant. We're sharpening up on the blessing. We're sharpening up on the anointing. We're sharpening up on the blood. We're sharpening up on shalom. And we are going to see the victories in this house like never before. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive our offering. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for watching today. We love you. We bless you. If you would like to give online, you can go to give via text message, text VCHL, the amount you want to give, 73256. Click the link, and you can join us by giving God a gift and blessing him. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for every giver. We thank you for every tither. Father, thank you for the anointing on the giver, on the tither, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, brothers. Y'all are awake tonight. I didn't see one sleepy person. Praise the Lord. I'm all right when you, some of you sleep because I know this is the most peaceful place you can get, you know. But, praise the Lord. It's the snoring that bothers you, huh? I've heard a couple of y'all snore, actually, if you want to know the truth. And we just laughed at you. Somebody walk by and close your mouth. We're family. Praise the Lord. Did y'all get anything out of this? I know it was just a outline oversight because it takes a long time to teach this stuff. But let me tell you this, and this will be real easy for you. If you go out online, Miss Billy has an eschatology class. Or if you don't want to pay for it, the Autumn Assembly 3 p.m. meeting. The first part of it are the graduates, and then she begins to talk about the end times. And it is the most clear laid out that I've ever seen. So you can go watch it there. 3 p.m. Autumn Assembly. You'll have to wade through about an hour of it. Not wade through, but they're graduating. You can push your little pedal forward. But you can really get the idea. She starts with the Jews and everything that went forth. And I just hit the highlights. But she can talk so fast in such detail. And it's so accurate. And you'll have a real good knowing of what goes on. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. What did y'all think about the meeting? Tell us anything in particular.
Exactly what you said, heavenly.
It was heavenly? Yeah.
So many deposits by sitting there, you just like change dropping in the machine.
Yeah.
Constant revelation from God.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. Were you there when we changed?
Yeah, exactly.
So Miss Lynn had us do a prophetic enactment, and she had us all get out change. And when she hollered change, we all hollered change, and we threw all our change up in the air. And I mean, the spirit went, it was amazing. That lady's amazing. It was really good. Just, y'all know what prophetic enactments are, I suppose. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up. God is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Rachel, in the name of Jesus, Spirit of God is about to give you some spiritual intelligence. You're linked with heaven. You're going to know some specific things to pray for. Some secrets. You pray for them. You'll hear them. You'll pray for them. You'll see it come to pass. I'm talking tunnel stuff in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I don't know who the person is, but I'm just going to go. It's someone right here. I hear the Lord saying, thank you for spending time with me. Thank you for spending time with me. And I'm about to show the love. Now, if you go, well, it didn't mean because I didn't spend any time with him. Well, that's his invitation. He's thanking you ahead of time. So go see what he wants. He wants to tell you something. Amen. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's someone here, and it's been just a little hard to get through some things. And the Lord would say to you, reach out. I'm holding your hand, and we'll step right over. I'm holding your hand, and we'll step right over this in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys.